Acts 21, verses 31 to 40, these are God's words. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him, and commanded him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing, and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him!" Then, as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out in the wilderness?" Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, and that's the end of our portion. God's word written. So the chains finally come, and when they come, even humanly speaking, they are chains of protection just from a straight physical temporal providence perspective. It's better Roman chains than Jewish stones. And so they turn out to be quite welcome, even for the preservation of his life, when they finally do arrive. Just so, God's providence is often wise. Well, it's always wise, but it often comes in the wisdom that we did not anticipate. We may be concerned about something that seems like it's going to happen. And when it does happen, it comes by way of even a temporal mercy, an earthly mercy. Now, this is often what people are talking about, like when they're like, "I didn't know why God made me late, but it turned out there was a car accident and kept me from getting killed." That's actually could be true. God often, in his wisdom, gives us difficulties that turn out to be temporal mercies. But these aren't just chains of protection, they're chains of love. No, the Roman centurion and the commander and the garrison, they do not love Paul, at least not yet. But they're coming in the love of the Holy Spirit. You remember the Holy Spirit had been telling them about these chains. We heard him say that in chapter 20, verse 23, that the Holy Spirit had already been telling him in every city at that point when he was in Miletus. And this would continue. We saw it in two more stops in this chapter, even with the dramatic demonstration of Agabus who came down from Judea. And then verse 11, used Paul's belt and bound his hands and his feet. But knowing that this comes from the Holy Spirit, he knows, of course, that it comes from the one in whose fellowship we live. He's the one who, in 2 Corinthians, the love of God, or the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It comes in the love of the one who he himself wrote in Romans 5, verse 5, poured out the love of God into our hearts like a drink offering. Well, he doesn't say like a drink offering, it uses the language for a drink offering, for pouring out. These are therefore chains of love. You should remember that providence is personal, it is overruled by God, it is determined and planned by God, and therefore it comes in the same love that gave you Christ. This is why the greater protection of the two is actually the protection of sinning. When the chains spare him from the Jewish crowd, and especially the sight of the chains that were a fulfillment of the word of the Holy Spirit that he had heard so many times. Certainly, the apostle would have realized what the Lord had just spared him from. And no, I don't mean dying with the hand of the Jews, although that's kind of messy, but to die was gain. The problem is, for a moment, he was about to sin against the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ and against the breaking down of the middle wall of separation or the dividing wall. And so these are chains of love from the Holy Spirit. There are also chains of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. There are many things that are uniquely in common. Now, they're not exactly the same, but there are many elements. And Paul, of course, is one through whom we have learned that we have fellowship with Christ in our sufferings. The sufferings of Christ abound in us, so the comforts of Christ will abound in us. We suffer together with him, and then we'll be glorified together with him and inherit together with him. And his introduction to the Lord Jesus, his personal introduction to the Lord Jesus, was included the realization that Jesus was receiving the suffering of his people as personally done to him. And he said, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, rather, why are you persecuting me? But even here you have the Jews seeking to kill him, and you have all Jerusalem in an uproar when they're seeking to kill him. During a feast, you have witnesses who are trying to say one thing, come up with the charge that will work for putting him to death, but they don't even agree with one another. Verse 34, some cried one thing, some another. You have the statement that we find in both Luke and John's account of the crucifixion, when Jesus is before Pilate, away with him. Full statement about Jesus that they were yelling was, away with him. Such a man does not deserve to live, or deserves to die. Luke 23:18 and John 19:15. All of these things remind Paul that the Lord Jesus is with him. This is something that the Lord had promised him on more than one occasion personally, but it's also something that's true with you. The Lord Jesus has sympathy with us in our sufferings. It's not just that we are united to him, he also is united to us. And he does receive, personally take, as if done to him, go through it with us. And so it's quite amazing when a believer suffers persecution, or even if it's not persecution, just suffering in general. Because you realize, it's not just that God is letting the believer go through this, it's that the glorified Christ is united to this one who is suffering. And that the Son would continue to do that, to go through things with us, not leaving us as orphans. He's given us his Spirit, but his Spirit, we know, is also the one by whom the Father and the Son come and make their home with us. And so he has here chains of protection, chains of love, chains of fellowship. But there are also chains of opportunity. The garrison, now, at least a couple of the guys, are literally chained to Paul. They're held captive by their duty. The commander also. And so he takes advantage of that. The Jews, the Hebrews, the Jews are held captive by their rage. It's not like they can just give up and go home. Paul takes advantage of knowing both Greek and Hebrew. He sidebars with the commander in Greek, and then when he turns to the crowd, he speaks in Hebrew or Aramaic. Well, he probably knew both of those, especially since he had probably memorized the entire Hebrew Bible. He takes advantage of his Roman citizenship. When he's introducing himself, when he says he's a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, he makes sure to throw in there a citizen, which we're going to find out in chapter 22, was not good news for the commander who had put chains on him, because he wasn't actually allowed to do that to a Roman citizen. When he's passing him off to the next guy, he's like, dude, be careful, he's a citizen. He takes advantage of all these things to do what? Well, we're going to have the content of the speech later, but to tell them about Jesus. To tell them that Jesus is alive. To tell them that he is saving sinners. And to tell them many things about Jesus. But it seems that the reality of who superintended his chains reminded Paul of the why of why he was in those chains. He knew it. We say reminded. Because he's the one who said, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? For I am willing not only to be bound, but to die." For what? For the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, now he's been bound. For what? For the name of the Lord Jesus. So suddenly he's no longer trying to get into the temple to commit a blood sacrifice against Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice, or to separate the nations, to observe the dividing wall of separation. In fact, the thing that's going to end his evangelism is when he says that the gospel is going to the Gentiles. They heard him up until that point, and then he says Gentiles, and they lose their minds. No, he's no longer trying to satisfy the session of the Jerusalem church by doing all these things that are inconsistent with his Christian life. Now he's looking for a place, looking for a way to testify to the glory of the name of Jesus the Savior. He knows why he's been bound. And you know why you suffer. Yes, it's for your good. Providence is protecting you, perhaps from something temporal, definitely from more of your own sin, because providence comes in the same love that gave you Christ. And one of the reasons you're suffering is to enjoy fellowship with Christ, who sympathizes with you in it. Many a Christian prisoner has been amazed at the joy that Christ is with him in the cell, and there's nothing that can be done to take him away. Well, another reason for your suffering, for whatever trial you might go through, is to have opportunity to bring honor to the name of Jesus. And we should watch for those opportunities and take advantage of them, as the Lord sustained, helped his servant here to do as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this portion of your word and for giving it to us on this particular day. We pray, Lord, that cross or trial would not grieve us, but that we would know the fellowship of Christ and the love of your Spirit, that we would know your protection even from our remaining sin. And we pray that you would help us to take advantage of every part of the providence to give us for the name of Jesus. We ask it all in his name. Amen.